It's the Lord's been so good, and folks, it's all been the Lord. I didn't plan this journey at all. And that's the exciting thing about it, is the Lord just keeps bringing us along, don't he? I'd like you to open your Bibles to Haggai chapter 2. We are church planters, and I'm excited about that too. God called us into a good work. Church planters go out and win souls in an area where there's no churches, and build those people up and train them, and then turn a church over to them, established and with their own pastor and their own teachers. And it's marvelous to see God take, like that first pastor that didn't have any education, only had the shirt on his back, he was an alcoholic, and see him get saved and then genuinely give his life to the Lord, and God was good to him. God gave him a good family that supported him, helped him. We were able to teach him to read and write, and he's a good preacher. Beyond that, God's given him wisdom. Isn't that something? I'm not any smarter than he is. And it's amazing and exciting to see those men make decisions, good, quality, godly decisions. Amen? I am glad for your prayers. And I'm glad to see Brother Jones here, Johnson here. Brother C.L. Jones, I don't know if he made it tonight or not. Brother C.L. is one of my heroes. But missionaries need your prayers. Our health is not always the best it ought to be. Sometimes there's obstacles and hindrances and problems. And many of you know some of the things we've gone through as missionaries, as well as others. Did you know that most missionaries, in Latin America anyway, have had their daughters raped? In Honduras, in my stay there, I've seen 5 missionaries shot that I've known personally. One lost his eye, one lost his arm. We appreciate your prayers. But we do have changing times, folks. And if we don't confront these changing times, missions are going to come extinct. The population, as you know, is just overflowing. And as was mentioned, there's a great need for missionaries in every country. There are towns in Honduras that still do not have a Baptist missionary. And the need is great. In Haggai chapter 2 and verse 19, I'd like to call your attention to verse 15. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 15. And now I pray you, consider from this day, today, and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were when one came to a heap of 20 measures and there were but 10. Can you imagine? You know, today people say, well, the pantry's empty because we had a drought, or the wrong president's in office. I want you to hear what God says the reason is. There should have been 20 and there were only 10. When one came to the press vat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. What happened? Holes in their pockets? I've been there. I smote you. It wasn't a president's fault or a politician's fault. God said, I smote you with blastings, with mildew and with hail, and all the labors of your hands. Yet you turn not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now, from this day and upward, from the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Folks, look what he asked. Is the seed yet in the barn? Is the seed yet in the barn? My dad, we raised hay and wheat and a little bit of oats, and we'd rotate the fields with potatoes, refresh the potato fields, and we had about 20 or 30 acres of potatoes, and we'd harvest them and put them in a big warehouse about 8 foot tall and about 40 feet wide and some 60 feet long, and And then in the wintertime, we'd sort potatoes, and we'd sort out seed potatoes. And then we'd, in the spring, we'd cut them up in seedling size and to plant. Do you know what would happen if we didn't put that seed in the ground? It would rot and be of no value, and there'd be no harvest. And folks, when we don't get the seed out, we kind of become like that seedling potato. We become rotten, cold, indifferent, and bitter, and the pastors have problems with you. Is the seed yet in the barn? Folks, we have a great commandment. Jesus said in John 15, 2 and 5 and 6, we must bring in fruit. That's our responsibility. That's our commandment. And Jesus expects it, and Jesus demands it, that we bring in fruit. In John 4, 35, he says, we're losing the harvest. When that grain field is white, the grain has already fallen into the dirt. Have you ever tried to pick grain up out of the dirt? You can't do it. It's too late. When the seed falls into hell, all the prayers of the Catholics can't raise it out. And all the offerings you might give can't bring them out of the hell. It's too late. It's too late, folks. And we're in a critical hour. And you know what's happening? In these changing times, the attention is taken off the field. We got to take care of the home front first. We got to establish the church first. We got to get our home in order, and we just can't do financially quite like we used to do. You know very well what the answer is to that. I'm sure you've been preached a lot about it. The answer is give more. And I thank the Lord. Our report, it's God's report, but it's your report because you've been faithful to give and pray. Amen? About 2 weeks ago, I sent out a prayer letter by email. Some of you get it. Anybody's welcome to get it that would like to. And I said, tonight we're having a youth meeting, special youth meeting. Please pray for it. Guess what? There was 8 young people saved. I believe somebody prayed. And folks, that's what we need today more than ever. In the last year, there's been 2 close neighbors, one right across the street from me, killed. And some of you know, just a few years ago, 11 men walked into our fenced area, the institute and house, and went into our home, tied up the worker, and stole. They named us by name. They intended to get us there. They came in at noon. And like I said, there are 5 missionaries been shot. And just recently, one was shot in the chest and had to come back to the States. I believe we're there because you pray. No, folks, don't get so caught up in the politics, and that's important. And don't get so caught up in the economy, that's important. But I want to let you to know that by faith, we can keep on going. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Some of you need to join us out in the mission field. Our time is short. And the question you need to ask yourself, is the seed still in the barn? Are you getting it out? If you're not, it's going to rot. You're going to sour. And you're going to regret it. And I must say, I've enjoyed being a missionary. And all that going on around me is not clouded our enthusiasm. In fact, we feel like we have a greater ministry ahead of us than we've ever had. Come join us. Now, in closing, I want you to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? I know that everything's pulling you apart. And laying you down. The burden is heavy. And who ought to carry that burden? You? The Lord Jesus Christ. I said this morning, we're getting close to crossing that river. Well, thank the Lord I do have really good health, and I'll probably live a long time yet. But you don't know. But you know what? Listen to me. Jesus was beaten and insulted rejected. And when he was carrying that cross, he couldn't hardly put a step in front of another step. And yet he did. Somebody had to help him. He fell. They had to help him up. But he kept on going. Now I know there's days when it's hard to put one foot in front of the other foot, but don't think about tomorrow. Just think about getting that next foot up and getting it over in front of the other one. Crawl if you have to crawl, but keep going. And some of the older folks, I know it's hard to get out of bed. There's nothing wrong with praying in bed, by the way, when it's just too hard to get out of bed. Sometimes I have to talk to the Lord pretty hard, and then finally I feel like I can make it out of bed. And then I can pray some more. But I know he heard me in bed, and I felt it, and I've felt it. Amen? Amen? What I'm saying is, folks, Jesus didn't give up until he died. Don't let the world tell you you're just too broke or things are just too bad. Don't join up with those that have happier times and have bigger miracles and great promises. Stay true to the faith. Jesus did. He didn't cop out. And by the way, folks, he was still winning souls when he was hung on the cross. He still looked out upon the world to his dying breath. And I want to encourage you in these changing times, get the seed out in Fort Worth, in Texas. By the way, Honduras thinks the United States is a mission field. Let's get the seed out, folks. Because if we don't, it's going to rot and it's going to destroy you. And by the way, it hurts your church too. Sourpuss in church. And I wonder how many people are going to die and go to hell because we didn't get the seed out around us. I wonder how many of our own family will lose, our own children. It's pretty hard to have a son or a daughter come to know the Lord Jesus Christ when we're sour and depressed and discouraged. Let's be busy about the Lord's work. He was busy. Let's not let anything stop us. If we're beaten down, bruised, and pained, let's put one foot in front of the other. Let's keep on going. And let's keep getting the seed out of the ground. Father, we thank you for your great love and mercy. You've spoken to us so clearly in your word, and I just pray that we take that truth and very carefully respond to it. Let us be fruit bearers. Let us feel and see and respond to the great harvest before it's too late and it can't be picked up out of the dirt, and before they've passed on to hell and can't be recovered. Help us to speak. Help us to reach out. And help us to get the seed out of the barn. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.